People have never known quite what to expect from the computers they create, but luckily we have science fiction to imagine the future for us. Robert Weinberg and his co-author Lois Gresh wrote the book The Computers of Star Trek. Weinberg told Steve Paulson that Captain Kirk and the rest of the Enterprise gang were especially suspicious of computers.
Each Star Trek series reflects the makeup of our country and the feelings that we had about computers at the time the show was produced. And in the 60s, I remember very well that computers were seen by many, many people as a great threat to workers and to jobs and even to people, that these were cold and personal machines. And the big talk, of course, was automation, that in 20 years there would be no workers anymore doing any type of physical labor, that machines would be doing all of it, and everybody would be sitting home watching their giant screen TVs and growing into fat, tremendous blobs and eating popcorn all the time. Now that seems to have happened anyway, but at the same time, most of those people still have jobs that they have to go to. That didn't come true, but when Captain Kirk complained in the episode The Ultimate Machine, where a computer takes over as the captain of the Enterprise, he's voicing real concerns about his specific job. He says, we can't have a machine in charge. We need a captain in charge. And that was a very common theme, you know, and that was expressing what I think were very real fears at the time, that computers were going to take over, replace people.
And there's another episode, Court Martial, where Captain Kirk is actually accused of killing one of his crewmen, and the evidence has been marshaled from the computer log, and it's up to Kirk's lawyer to show that the computer was wrong.
That's probably the most interesting episode involving a computer, because the argument in the first half of the episode is that Kirk gave some orders that resulted in an ensign being killed. And all the evidence against him is, as you say, from a computer, which kind of monitors everything he does and everything he says, kind of like a black box does on an airplane today. And Kirk's lawyer argues that you can't trust a machine, that is not human, and you can't put a man's life at jeopardy by what a machine tells him.
The most devastating witness against my client is not a human being. It's a machine, an information system, the computer log of the Enterprise. And I ask this court adjourn and reconvene aboard that vessel.
I protest, Your Honor.
And I repeat, I speak of rights. A machine has none. A man must. My client has the right to face his accuser. And if you do not grant him that right, you have brought us down to the level of the machine. Indeed, you have elevated that machine above us. I ask that my motion be granted. And more than that, gentlemen, in the name of a humanity fading in the shadow of the machine, I demand it. I demand it!
Then, in the second half of the show, Kirk gets back on the Enterprise and uses the Enterprise's computer to prove that, no, this man hadn't died, and he's really stowing away on the Enterprise, which was pretty outrageous. So it went from one extreme of not trusting the machine because it was too reliable into let's trust the machine because it's pointing the finger at somebody else other than Captain Kirk.
What about the battles that we see in Star Trek, the captain ordering a photon blast from the bridge?
Captain, the Borg ship is closing.
They're firing again. Shields have been reduced 41%. Another hit and we will be defenseless.
Arm the photon torpedoes.
Torpedoes armed. Fire the photons.
That's just absolutely ridiculous. The most pertinent thing, of course, is that they're traveling at such high speeds. In the show, they have mentioned that when they're not traveling at warp speed, which is beyond the speed of light, which is an entirely different subject, but when they're traveling at, like, cruising speed, they're traveling at one quarter the speed of light. Again, these are numbers that we can't conceive of. A quarter of the speed of light is still 75,000 kilometers per second. That's a huge distance in 1 second. And so if you aim in another ship when you're fighting, and you aim where it is at the moment, well, by the time your photon torpedo arrives, or even your light beam, which will travel at the speed of light, that ship is still not going to be there. It's going to have moved 100,000 kilometers or more. And so having human beings in charge of the weapons makes absolutely no sense.
But it's frightening to think that humans would not be in charge of the weapons, that it's all done at the level of computers.
It is, and yet, if we go 200 years in the future, and you see 10 spaceships coming in to attack you, and you're a starship captain, and they're coming in at half the speed of light, 150,000 kilometers per second, you can't maneuver your ship on your own. You can't come up with a strategy to fight other ships that are moving that fast and have computers directing how they go, how fast they go, where they fire their photon torpedoes or laser weapons or things like this. So what you have to do is you have to give complete control of your ship over to a computer that makes decisions in nanoseconds, in a millionth of a second. You can't make decisions that fast. The human brain doesn't work that fast. Our brains work awfully fast. But it takes time for us to even relay information to a computer. By the time we talk into a microphone and say, weapon systems up, we've been destroyed for about, you know, since the W came out, you know, we're just space debris. So in the future, if there's star battles, and I have my doubts whether there will be any type of star war type star battles, humans will definitely not have any role to play in them. It's all going to be completely controlled by machines. It just goes too fast.
Well, if we're talking about Star Trek, we have to talk about the Borg, which is part biological, part machine. And I don't know how accurate they are, but they sure look scary. And I guess I wonder if this is the cyborg of the future.
Well, Lois and I hope not. We both had a great time writing this book. We were both Star Trek fans, science fiction fans, and both are involved in computers and mathematics and the like. And we love the Borg. We just think they're terrific monsters. But are they believable? Not, at least hopefully not, because the Borg is stated in the first episode, I believe, that the Star Trek encounters the Borg, that this is the result of 100,000 years of melding, like, man and machine.
We are Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile.
This is what is supposedly the supreme achievement of melding man and machine. And all I could think of is, this is it. This is Frankenstein's monster, this guy that walks at a half a mile an hour with one mechanical hand with a claw going click, click, click. We think that artificial intelligence and design work of computers with, you know, human appearance is going to result in what we would think as being much better than human. And I don't think anybody watches Star Trek say, wow, I really wish I could be a Borg. You know, that's the last thing that you want to be. You might want to be Data, you know, and live for 400 years and have slightly pale skin, but also be really strong and really smart and be able to play the violin and paint 26 paintings at the same time. But nobody dreams of being a Borg.
Robert Weinberg is the author of The Computers of Star Trek. Steve Paulson spoke with him.